Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Guru, 21 flavors of wings. Y'all have heard the names by now. Hopefully you've tasted them. They're famous honey suicide, world famous honey suicide. The garlic sriracha is fantastic. Lemon pepper hot. And, of course, they've got the Triple J, which as you get back into Grizzlies mode should be your pick. That one developed, obviously, with Grizz forward Jaren Jackson. Talking about the Wing Guru. And you folks that have asked me, Bartlett John keeps asking me, hey, man, when the Stage Road location opening back up? I got the answer. It's next Friday, July 17th. Then you'll have it out in Collierville, Arlington, Olive Branch. Wing Guru coming to you soon. In the meantime, you got the original location over on Mount Moriah down in South Haven. You guys open as well. So go there. Get it for yourself. When you see our man Billy Richmond, you tell him what's up. Treat yourself, your family, your friends to the best wings, the best catfish, the best gourmet burgers in town. Billy's not going to tell you what he puts in those gourmet burgers. You're just going to eat it and love it. It's the Wing Guru. You can order online at thewingaroo.com. When you see Billy Richmond, you tell him Jason John sent you.
535-3776-535-ESPN. What's the angriest you've been when it comes to a sports argument, a sports topic? I know we got some Cowboy fans out there. I mean, they have to defend their name.
Well, that's every year.
They got to defend their name. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like Cowboy fans are always arguing with somebody.
And then
about
you told us the story. We've told the story about us getting mad about Chris Crawford and all that. Well, now he's going to be an NBA player. But didn't you tell us too? You kicked in a door, a wall, or something. As a kid, your mom got.
It was Memphis, Texas. It was the Memphis, Texas game, and
I knew that anger. There was more anger from you.
And I want to say it was like PJ Tucker and LaMarcus Aldridge. Maybe I'm getting my years mixed up. Mm-hmm. But man, I just remember like, you know, Memphis was right there. You know, like Memphis could not. Memphis just could not. Get over the hump. Yeah, it was exactly. It was LaMarcus Aldridge and PJ Tucker had 24. Texas upset Memphis that year, 69-58. I believe it was here too. I was very pissed. I was like,
had a young John Martin hot.
Well, yeah. I mean the Longhorns were good, but you know, I mean,
like Cal blew that one.
I mean, yeah, Memphis at that point, I don't believe had lost at home. They were on an 8-game win streak, you know? I mean, I think we've all kind of, you know, and there's differences of feelings, right? Like, that was anger because I felt like Memphis should have won that game, you know? Like, I feel like Memphis should have won. And then there's, like, you know, the championship game, which is not anger so much as just sadness. You know, there's a difference of, you know, because the championship.
That's shell shock.
Yeah, that was
sadness.
That was, yes. You didn't have time to be angry, you know? Because the hardest part about that one.
Well, you got angry, I guess, as time, you know, as you had to cope with it and deal with it. Well, I got angrier later. The initial response was not anger. It was shell shock.
The hardest part about that one for me was the fact that you just knew it was all about the change. Like, you knew CDR was gone. You knew D. Rose was gone.
Oh, yeah. Was that, like, your best opportunity?
Yeah. And though.
And you didn't have a chance in 73. Like, Bill Walton was awesome. So you weren't going to win that game.
Yep.
To your point about this one, you're winning. Yep. You're in regulation. You've got it. To that point, 85 didn't even make it to the title game.
Yep.
So to your whole, this felt like the one. So I can get feeling that way because, again, you were so close to it. I mean, that game was done. Everybody in my house thought that game was over.
Yep.
So I get it. But, again, the anger sort of came later after you're trying to figure out how it happened.
No doubt. 535-3776-535-ESPN. What's the angriest you've been about sports? We go to Brad. Brad, you're on.
Hey, Jason. Hey, John. The angriest I've been over sports is obviously Memphis hits close to home, the national championship game. I was there second row. It was actually a cool story. I sat the row behind Bill Russell, got to meet Tony Parker, and then got to meet DeJuan Wagner.
Oh, wow. Hardaway.
It was a cool story. But on the way home, I had a couple of my friends. I was in seventh grade, had a couple of my friends texted me. They're Tennessee fans, so got back to school. I was in seventh grade and kind of had some words with them and never really came to blows, but it came really close and kind of feel like that was a low blow, you know, texting me on the way home from that game. So that's the maddest I've ever been over a sports event.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Hey, Brad, appreciate the call, man. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I really do think
that was low of those Tennessee fans, even if they're your buds.
Not unexpected, though. I mean, I remember going back to school, you know, when Calipari took the job at Kentucky and, like, people were wearing Kentucky shirts, you know? Like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? I was mad over Cal. I remember.
A lot of people were mad at Cal about that game.
Well, I was mad when Cal left.
You're talking about his leaving and going to Kentucky after he told you he loved it here.
Yeah, I mean, I was mad when Cal left because, you know, I remember just checking. I remember, like, my routine, like, you got to remember, I was like I was two things. I was a huge Memphis basketball fan, and I was an aspiring journalist. So this is sort of like where those two sort of worlds collided because every day, you know, and this was before Twitter, really. Like, Twitter had just started to become, like, what it was, I think, that summer, really. And so there wasn't, like, you just got on Twitter and saw what Gary Parish was tweeting or whoever. I think Dan Wolkin was the beat writer at that time. You would get on commercialappeal.com, and they would have, like, they did a great job. Like, I give the CA a lot of credit. Like, they covered the ish out of that coaching search. Because every day, I would wake up and I would get on commercialappeal.com. What did Dan Wolkin write? What did Jeff Calkins write about John Calipari, you know? And I remember distinctly this story that they wrote about the Gibson's meeting or like the all these boosters who were they met at John's house or something. Like, I remember reading about that thinking like, oh, they're going to get it done. Like, they're going to give him all the money. Like, they're going to, and then the guy just leaves, you know? And then the guy still leaves. And I get it. Like, I you know, it was the right move for him at the time career-wise because it was just going to be hard for him to keep it going at Memphis, especially with what he knew was coming down. But, you know, I was very mad about Cal leaving. I was, like, what, 17 years old, you know? And then I started covering the program that summer. And I've been doing it ever since, Jason.
I almost feel bad for little John.
Don't feel bad.
For young John.
Don't feel bad. No,
yes.
No, it was.
For that John, not this John. This John's grown up. He's mature. He invests. He saves.
Yes, he does. He does both of those things daily.
Does all that stuff. Is hearing about that from Jeff this morning.
He invests and shaves.
And we are very proud of him. But I'm talking about, you know, young John that had all his hopes in front of him.
Now I have none.
And Cal let him down.
I have no hopes in front of me now. You know, I have absolutely no hopes in front of me. So,
I remember one in particular where a friend of mine by the name of Sean, had invited me to go see the Bears and Packers. Okay.
Yeah.
Up in Champaign.
Yeah.
It was the year that they were remodeling Soldier Field. And, of course, you're going to go. You mean, you, one of your good friends, when one of your Bear brothers
yeah.
says, we're going to watch the Bears.
Yeah.
You know, take on the Packers, the hated Packers. Come on with us. It's like, where do I sign up?
Yeah, man.
Because we're going to go up there, and we're going to beat them, and we're going to do it in person. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get up there. I'd never been to Champaign for a game. Didn't know what it's like. Now there's when an Illinois plays, and then there, you know, all the kids come out and they're all on their balconies and all that, and all that's happening. But then there was a version of that too for the Bears that year.
Yep.
So the whole town was just like jumping, and so there's this almost like a parade like atmosphere before the game. And man, feeling good, love the atmosphere. Getting to the game, brother, Brett Favre tore us up, and I tried my ungrateful self. So, John, sometimes I just put the spotlight on you and we say you got to do better. But my ungrateful self, I got mad, okay?
That's understandable.
I got mad about just being there, period. And then the long drive home, I'm mad and almost holding it against my friend Sean, right, that he's got me up there, that I watched this L in person. And is that right? No.
John, you got to do better.
But sports make us act like that. When you don't get the outcome you want, sometime like that. So what was an opportunity is a perfect opportunity. If I had it again, I'd take it and I'd say, thank you. By the end of it, you're blaming the person that gave it to you because what? Because you had to be there and witness it in person. And I did, man.
You held it against him.
Man, that whole ride back, that was a long drive back to Memphis, too.
What was the final score?
Oh, it wasn't even close.
What year would this have been?
The year they were rebuilding, they were redoing Soldier Field. So, man, I'll take – my gosh, asking me that, you asked me the year now. But it was the year the Bears were having to play in Champaign, Illinois because of the remodel when they dropped a spaceship into the middle, essentially, of Soldier Field. Put it back.
2002.
There it is.
Yep.
There it is.
So Bears, Packers, and Champaign, 2002. I'm going to pull this up.
Give me that score because Favre threw a long one in that. I want to tell you it was like Robert Brooks that he hit on that one.
34-21. Not as bad as you thought it was.
No, nah, we had already left, I think, and we scored toward the end of that game.
Yeah.
After we'd left, if I'm not mistaken.
Dude, I watched the Raiders lose 62-0 in St. Louis, okay?
But go to a Cubs-Mets game with my pastor, his lovely wife, my wife. I have not won at Wrigley Field since I've started taking my wife, okay? Go to this one. Cubs are winning. Oh, no, excuse me. Yeah, I want to say I had a 1-0 lead or it's 2 over most of the game. Go to this one with my pastor, Wrigley Field. I'm lost, like, keep in mind, 2 or 3 in a row, taking the wife. She's there again, though, thinking I'm going to break through. Cubs blew it at the end. Pastor wins. By the end of it, I don't want to be there. I'm looking at my wife sideways. I'm looking at my pastor sideways because it's more, for me, it's about when I go to a game and witness it, why can't I win?
Well, because you just don't get that op. You don't get that
guarantee. I always get the L.
You've gone to a game,
and I blamed it on why. I blamed it on wife. I've blamed it on my Mets loving pastor. You know,
you've never attended a live sporting event that you've won.
Not my real teams.
Really?
Bulls lost this year. Tried to take CJ up there, United Center. Bulls lost. I think it was to Charlotte. Yeah.
So you've never
every time, brother.
You've never witnessed a victory for the teams you care about.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, Arkansas back in the day when I was a kid, like, my dad's taking me to games. Memphis,
Bears,
when I'm a fan
Cubs,
of those teams.
You've never seen a win.
Not in person.
Wow. That's sad.
Yeah, no.
There's
Cubs,
nothing
my,
like
my
it.
My first, that's not entirely accurate. My first Cubs game that my dad and a friend of his took me to as a teenager or whatever else, we stayed. There was a rain delay in the middle. We came back and won. But in my adult life where I've had the money, I'm making the plans for the trip, making the plans to go to the game, all that, or in the case where a friend of mine's taking me up, no, not in person. It's like I'm cursing. What I've got to look at it, it's not my friend Sean who invited me. It ain't my wife who's just an absolute bad luck omen if you take her to the Cubs.
Yeah.
It ain't my Mets-loving pastor. It's me. It's me.
You're the problem.
Yeah, it's actually me. So CJ's first
it's not your problem
CJ's
either.
First Cubs game that I took him all around to was that Mets game. It was an L.
It's
so
a great.
I'm passing
you got
it down.
You got some great pictures out of it, though.
Yeah, I mean the fire department across the fire the famed fire firehouse across the street. CJ got to take a picture with those guys. He's got his Rizzo jersey on. Yeah. But it's a loss.
Yeah, but let me tell you this. I saw
like imagine me and McCleskey. I think he was there for when they won the
he
whole.
He probably was.
Yes, like during the World Series.
Yep. I will tell you this.
Imagine though. Winning it all and you're there.
I will say this to you, Jason.
Man, I just want a regular season win.
There is nothing like being there when you win. Like I think I did it 3 straight years in Nashville.
Oh, I've let just Grizzlies wins on a regular season win with the kid and every especially the ones you know against
but
the upper echelon.
I'm talking about the ones where you gotta travel to. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it makes it worse if you lose. You gotta make that long drive home.
I mean,
long flight home.
When you win, it's like when you go to a like Nashville or whatever, and you watch your team win, it's the best. It's the absolute best. You know. I tell my wife every time, record this.
You never feel closer to your team than in those moments.
Oh, because you just know you're there.
I remember it was meant to be.
Here's the other cool thing about it. I went to those Titans Raiders games and we whipped their ass every single time. And after the game, Raider players would tweet, "We heard y'all out there today. Thank you." Like it was like,
Lord.
Oh my God, like he heard me, man. Like DC, you heard me. You know, Michael Crabtree, you heard me, brother. Like I was out there. Cheering. I don't have a voice no more. I'm just thinking about all the COVID I spread, how loud I was cheering back then. You know, all those droplets and aerosols. It's unbelievable.
You just do that. You do that in your backyard alone.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I will tell you, as somebody that's seen it multiple times, it's just
– No, consider you – don't take it for granted, brother, because it don't happen for all of us. Some
no,
of us
I know. It's
do
like I do just
lose.
Want to continue to reiterate just how amazing it is. There's just nothing that compares.
I follow a bunch of losers until the Cubs won the whole thing.
Right, but you weren't there for that.
Nope.
And you didn't feel like you were a part of it.
I did from my home.
Right. But
not same as a McCleskey being there.
Yeah. So anyway, speaking of which, speaking of fans and being there, we may not – it's kind of sad, you know? Like, it's kind of sad. Like, we won't be able to do that for the foreseeable future. Though I did see a report. Yeah,
especially when you think about kids and how much they just want to go back. And
yeah, man.
Cheer for the and see the streamers fall.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I saw a report today from NFL Network that Jacksonville has already said they're going to have just 25% capacity.
And Baltimore was talking about, what was the number
14,
for them? 14,000, I think.
Yeah. Do you think they are?
Again, this looked a lot better if you'd asked me about this a month ago.
Right. I mean, but they're still – I guess they're still planning for it, though.
I mean, in places where the numbers remain low and all that, and I realize we're not stay-at-home order for most of America at this point. We've moved past it, and we're not going to go back to that again. We've gone to mask up and changed it, but nobody wants to go backwards as much as that may, essentially the practices involved with are sort of where we need to be right now. I don't know, John. I'd like to believe that there are. I felt silly last week. I brought it up when the Dolphins were talking about this and socially distancing. It felt silly a week ago when you looked at the numbers in Florida to even think about that right now.
Yep.
To think that they're going to take a chance and have fans down there with the way the numbers are in Florida. But the other side of this coin is that we all want it to be the case. We all want there to be fans there, but clearly the priority right now has got to be safety. So. I don't know. I'd like to still think that there's a way for Baltimore to do that, for Jacksonville to do that, and we do it. Heck, I'd like to think that there's a way, more importantly, for the University of Memphis to do it. It matters more here for them in that program than it will to these pro teams who are going to roll one way or the other and can afford to because of the sponsorship deals and all that stuff where they make most of their money. So, yes, I want it. I pray for it. I hope fans could be there, but I get more skeptical by the day, I think, in terms of whether they will. But that said, you got to have a plan for that day should it come. You can't just sit here sucking on your thumb hoping. You got to have a plan both ways. So it's good that they're planning for them. I just don't know that they'll need those plans.
Yeah.
You know. What you think? I mean, are you all of a sudden today has changed and all of a sudden you think we got fans back at football games?
I mean,
maybe in the spring.
It's a little surprising to me. It's a little bit surprising to me that they're still planning to have fans, but I guess you have to do it.
Got to have a plan.
In the event that you can, maybe you plan to have it, and then if you don't, you just don't want to be ambushed, right? Like, so if you don't plan to have fans and then you can, then you can't make the sort of adjustments, right?
You got to plan ahead for both.
Right.
I think that's the problem baseball's facing right now. You planned, you spent too much time on the money the labor dispute, not enough time on the plan. So by the time you get past the labor dispute, okay, you're going to play, let's do it, your plan looks so far behind. Your testing is behind. You can't get to the players. And more importantly, make them feel safe. So they're not opting out, mm-hmm. as we continue to see players do. But to you, that's the point about the plan. One way or the other, you got to have it, no matter what happens, so that by the time you get there, you're ready for either one and in a place to respond. You know, that's the problem baseball's having right now. Too much labor talk beforehand, not enough planning for what happens should we get through the labor talk. Okay, here's our plan on how we're going to do this with the pandemic. They're trying to get caught up, and it just feels rushed. John, I mean, the hell, they're coming out before basketball does. It feels rushed, and it just their chances of getting to the end, I think, much less than the NBA.
Agreed. So, anyway, there you go. We'll come back. Mike Golic Jr. is going to join us. We'll talk to him about college football, the Big Ten, Notre Dame, where they fit into all of this, and more. Jason DeJohn, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Kelly Erb with Marksmansdorf Realtors, and I just had to ask. Sheldon, did you really just buy a set of golf clubs and you never tried them out?
Yep, that's right.
And Sheldon, didn't you tell me whenever you buy a car, you never test drive it?
Again? Yep.
Don't you think that's pretty bizarre since you always tell people to talk to two or three agents when they sell their home?
Yes, it is. I'm Sheldon Rosengarten, and I'm also with Marksmansdorf Realtors with Kelly. It's funny. We tell people that you should always talk to more than one agent to find out not only what they think about your home, but more importantly, what they will do for you. And you really need to make sure and include us in the interview process.
I agree, because how are you going to find out about our strategic marketing program with the Shellbucks option? And as people often say, when you want the job done, call Sheldon.
That's Sheldon Rosengarten and Kelly Erb. Call or email us at memphisrelocate.com or 682-1868. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Got a taste for Wing Guru, but no time for chicken? Enjoy Wing Guru in a bag. Pick up Memphis dry heat and garlic sriracha flavored pork skins from over 200 convenience stores in Tennessee and Mississippi. Also available at any Wing Guru location.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
It all starts with just one thing. People are finding innovative ways to help the environment in these uncertain times. One group recently started making face masks out of plastic bottles found in the ocean. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
It's the perfect time for a powerful business refresh during Dell Technologies Cyber Savings event. It starts now with up to 50% off high-performance Windows 10 business laptops, desktops, and servers, plus top-brand electronics. It's also your chance to streamline IT and simplify PC life cycles with PC as a service. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 10 Pro for business. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay. Powered by people, millions of people, all over the country, all working to get you exactly what you want. And that's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
The diehard batteries you know and trust are now at Advance Auto Parts. That means all the reliability, durability, and power you expect now come with free testing, free installation, and the unrivaled expertise of Advance team members. No appointment necessary. And for a limited time, purchase a diehard battery and enter to win a free Optima battery maintainer and charger. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
My City Rides allows you to lease to own a brand new motor scooter to get where you need to go. And they provide training with their scooter school. We're talking with rider Mike Davis. Mike, did you already know how to ride?
I had never driven a motorcycle before My City Rides.
Tell us a little bit about scooter school.
Scooter school largely consisted of two parts. One part was a classroom format that focused on laws, safety, and equipment. The second part was actual on-scooter training in an empty nearby parking lot.
Were you scared at all?
I was terrified I would wreck the training scooter.
So how did it go?
So they didn't push us to do any of the exercises until we were ready. We started off slow. First was balancing, then riding in a straight line, then turning one way, then another. Towards the end, we worked on emergency techniques such as fast braking.
So what would you tell someone who is considering the My City Rides program?
If you're thinking about it, don't wait. It's almost impossible to find more reliable and more fun transportation for $90 a month. It's a lot of fun. It's also cheap.
Thanks, Mike. To find out more, visit MyCityRides.org. That's MyCityRides.org.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
She filled my mind up with ideas. I'm the highest in the room. Hope I make it out of here. She saw my eyes, she know I'm gone. I see some things that you might fear. I'm doing a show, I'll be back soon. That ain't what she wanna hear. Now I got it in my room. Legs wrapped around my beard. Got the fastest car to Zoom. Hope we make it out of here. When I'm with you, I feel alive. You say you love me, don't you lie. Don't cry, my heart don't wanna die.
You know him, you love him. He is Mike Golic Jr. Catch him on ESPN Radio and ESPN. He's all over. Lots to get to. He joins now. Mike, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. No complaints. How are you?
You know what? We're one step closer to competition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're one step closer to the actual basketball competition, so that is a good day in my book. But maybe we're one step further away from college football competition. I think this was always sort of the when you sort of mapped out, you know, sports returning, I think college football was going to be the hardest one logistically. What did you make of the news yesterday from the Big Ten? How did you sort of perceive it? How did you take it?
So you kind of work through it in phases. At first, people hear that news from the Big Ten, and they say, all right, well, conference is starting to do that. Maybe it's trying to limit travel geographically. And then you realize, even within the body of the Big Ten, it's a pretty large footprint. A lot of these conferences have expanded over the years to try and hit different TV markets. So overall, that's not really as effective. And then you start to put it together with all of the things that we've seen already throughout this. The Ivy League makes the decision to, you know, move fall sports at the very least through, you know, till later in the year. We get Stanford talking about cutting programs. Now we get this from the Big Ten. We get the ACC talking about delaying the start of its Olympic sports. And all of it together, you go, huh, it's a bunch of different tactics to buy time, right? Like all of it, whether it's saving money by cutting programs, doing this, that, or the other, it's trying to buy time. So once you see it like that, I view it as conferences are trying to make sure they can be nimble and make decisions for themselves quickly. Because in my mind, they're trying to buy time and really delay the inevitable here, get their accounting in order, because it seems like we're working towards the season being at the very least delayed and at the most pushed back till the spring.
Yeah, okay. Where you ended is what I wanted to ask you, because I heard your man, our man too, Jason Fitz, this morning with you on Golic and Wingo, say that he doesn't think we'll have college football at all. I was surprised, actually. But then Feinbaum heard him say he thinks it's a 1-4 shot at having a season. I think I'm with you that there's so much at stake right now that the least you do is push it back to the spring. But I don't know. You seemed almost surprised at Fitzy saying, no, I think it's done. Is that where you're at the least we'll have it in the spring?
Yeah, I think because it really all is measured by time, right? Like
right.
Pushing it back to the spring, you're banking on the idea that, all right, looking at the way that we've gotten now, where as far as the rash of positive cases and things, you know, hospitals having a difficult time in these hotbed areas, we're in a pretty bad spot again. So the hope is that with more time, we get that under control. The hope is that some of the, you know, ambitious timelines for a vaccine come into play as you get closer towards the spring season. And you bank on all those things as a means to be able to complete it, because that's what I think is the difference at stake here. If you look at this fall right now, and these schools are projecting maybe that the idea of a disruption of the season, meaning you start and then have to stop, which is catastrophic, mm-hmm. could take place, and then you lose all the potential revenue that goes along with that versus banking on, all right, we might have to deal with some of these same problems in the spring if things don't improve as much, and we can try and get by in the absolute worst-case scenario, and we also have a higher likelihood of maybe getting a better handle on it in time, maybe more access to testing overall,
right.
cheaper testing so every school can afford it, and then maybe even the vaccine, where then you could go through with an entire season, albeit in the spring, albeit one that probably would exclude draft-eligible stars, but would be able to preserve the bulk of their ability to support college athletics, because that's what we've seen overall in this, right? Like, without football, college athletics is going to shudder, wither, and die.
Right.
And so they need to find a way to make sure that they can get to there as financially, as, you know, secure as they can, and then try and rebuild with that as the foundation, the most complete version of the season possible. Well,
you mentioned, again, those draft-eligible players that might not be there. How thick does that layer get, Mike, in terms of, you know, does a second round guy, a third round guy, you know, again, if we're talking, it's in the spring, which I'm with you. I think that's you got to play it that way. But do they sit out? Does that layer of guys, does that number of guys get thicker? Does that number go up? I mean, how many would we be missing, I guess, is my question.
Oh yeah, if I'm a guy with a, you know, draft grade that's anywhere in like the top five rounds, I'm probably looking at that and saying, It's not financially prudent, especially if you're someone in their last year of eligibility,
right.
and you don't have multiple years that you could stack on top of that, because there's just any number of things that could go wrong for a guy where that's directly on the other side. And you know what? That's something, obviously, the product would take a hit, but you'd be, you know, reliant on, all right, the underclass players, guys with multiple years before draft eligibility, looking at that situation and saying, yes, it will be a lesser product. But overall, outside of really a few teams, college football is such a lesser product when it comes to the actual skill on the field. It's more about all of the things that surround it.
That's
and
true.
If you could potentially get some of those back, even then, I think our desperation for sports will mitigate our, you know, maybe knowledge that the product isn't as good this time around. We'd be able to deal with it a little bit better.
Yeah, on the same sort of
take it, yeah.
on the same wavelength, right? We know college basketball has the luxury of time, whereas maybe college football is trying to buy it. College basketball is something you feel like maybe even if you had to, you can push it back to January, do conference only. It just feels like there's a lot more flexibility there. I mean, we're going to have a match. I mean, is there any way that the NCAA can go without, you know, two March Madnesses in a row? Like, I have to believe they're going to figure out a way to have an NCAA tournament in 2020, 2021. Where are you on college basketball?
Yeah, college basketball seems like one where, again, we see right now football trying to whittle it down to the smallest number. I heard some people wonder aloud if maybe, you know, just the big time, just a handful of Division I schools, the big time Power Five schools for football would get together and play a sort of round robin. And I think if it really came down to it, you could find some version of that in basketball that you could almost operate in a bubble like scenario from the NBA, just because of the nature of the sport, fewer bodies as a part of all these teams, and, you know, knowing that the tournament is really the golden goose in all of this, and
mm-hmm.
finding a way to make sure, if necessary, all your resources go towards that, I think is a lot more doable. And with the benefit of that amount of time, I mean, just look at what the change has been since the beginning when the NBA and the NCAA tournament shut down for a few cases, and now we have those during the summer at some colleges and are still able to operate for the most part here. So our knowledge of all this has increased so much. I mean, I can't imagine what it looks like by March of next year, and so I think you've got a pretty strong likelihood there.
What's it, back to college football really fast. What is that? What is the CFP? What does that look like? How do you decide the best four teams if we all eventually go to conference only? how do you decide the best four team if there's no big non-conference games between powers to help you? I mean, that's right, Golic? That's some of the most important criteria in terms of picking those teams, seeding those teams. If we don't have that, how do we do the CFP?
Yeah, the playoff committee is always a bit of a crapshoot as far as of those four main criteria, which ones they weight and how much each year. We've seen the out-of-conference schedule certainly help. Honestly, I think a lot of the conference truthers would get their way in this. There are people that think the conferences should have these automatic qualifiers and that winning your conference is the be-all, end-all in this. I don't subscribe to that, but for the people that do, if you get that this season, all of a sudden you say, all right, well, we're a lot closer to that idea of the conferences just getting it. If one conference were to have to bow out for some reason with all this, it would make their jobs very easy because you would just take the Power Five, you know, the Power Five conferences, the four that are left, and crown that. But even amongst that, I'm sure they would find a way, just like everyone else would in this season. If there was a season to be played, they would find a way to judge amongst the conferences and figure it out. It would probably, unfortunately, end up with the Pac-12 being left out because that's what's been in vogue lately anyway in all of this. And so I think they would work off that, and it would be closer to that thing that people have wanted all along. Just have the conference champions be the only ones that have a shot in this and go from there.
Well, would Notre Dame have a shot then as what would essentially be like as an ACC member, right? What does Notre Dame do that's got – I guess it's Wisconsin. You know this better than me. Go look with their schedule. Wisconsin's off, right? And then you've got six more with ACC teams, and the there's that possibility. Are they going to work with Notre Dame? What's the plan there?
Yeah, that's the indication. I saw some reporting from Brett McMurphy and a number of others that said John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, said this a while ago, but I think reaffirmed it recently, that should it go to a situation where it's conference slates only, that the ACC would work with Notre Dame to provide any games that it needed within the conference. So you mentioned already having that six in there and filling out the rest of the slate should they lose, Wisconsin and any other Big Ten opponents, the Pac-12 opponents that tend to pop up on Notre Dame's schedule on this. And so it sounds like there would be cooperation from the ACC since they already have that sort of tie-in with the other sports and those games already contracted out football-wise.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Golic Jr. Catch him on ESPN Radio and ESPN. You know, one of the things that I think is that now the sort of you're looking ahead, right? You're looking ahead as to what the college, landscape could look like. We know how much, these non-Power 5 schools depend on, the revenue from these bye games. And I don't know if this is sort of the first shift, but I did talk to some other people around the country that their theory is this could be the first sort of sign of that acceleration of, we know a gap exists, right? But this could be an acceleration of that pull away. I mean, could you see that happening? And do you think this is sort of a, an acceleration towards, we've heard so many years about these super conferences. Do you think this is sort of the first step in those formations?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, because depending on how bad this goes, that might be all that's left, right? Like, the people financially able to survive all of this might be fewer and further between if we don't have a fall season. So I could see that. I could see it breaking into what we've always talked about, those Autonomy 5, Power 5 conferences and their leadership forming a version and a governing body that would supplant the NCAA and all this. So I think as we sort through the aftermath on the other side of this, all of those options, could and should be on the table at that point. The only interesting part I can think of is maybe a counter to that is at a time where potentially, all right, if we get to a point where there's a vaccine, we can return to some semblance of normalcy. Well, those games that pay very well for the Group of Five schools playing Power Five may be more valuable than ever if those athletic departments are looking to rebound. And so trying to get those on a schedule at some point, if you are a Group of Five school, could be even more vital at that point, depending on if you're able to stay afloat through all of this. So that's the only, counter to that argument I can think of, but the break seems to make more and more sense every day.
The bubble, we're 20 days away from actual games being played. Everybody seems to be down there, and the food has gotten better, apparently. Damari Carroll was grateful on Instagram last night. He said, listen, this is good cooking to me. Do you think that it's going to work? Do you think that the NBA's protocols are stringent enough that the guys are going to be disciplined enough? I mean, do you think now that everybody's sort of down there and committed to doing it, whoever said they would go, do you think that we see a finish to the season?
Yeah, I think so, because – I think making it work at this point isn't having the best plan. It's being able to respond when that plan fails early on. And I think we've seen that demonstrated by both the NBA and the WNBA early. We've seen, like you said, the pictures coming out there. WNBA players a little bit disenfranchised with how the thing looks at the beginning of the bubble format. And then Kathy Engelbert, their commissioner, goes to work and starting to patching these holes. And I think with the NBA, the biggest advantage they have is a great working relationship with Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts, with the heads of the Players Association, and a trust there that as things come up, they're flexible enough and cooperative enough to fix these problems as they go along here. And the further and further along we go in this, and the closer to, you know, the competition aspect of it, when you get teams that are invested in the idea that they can really have a shot at a championship, I think you'll see that level of commitment, that level of buy-in from the players that eliminates some of the distractions that might invite the virus into the bubble. So I think it's just going to be able to weather the storm early on, and a league with this kind of leadership at the top is best suited to do so.
You know, is baseball just that relative that's going to keep screwing up, right? You know, you got that uncle that just can't stay out of trouble. Are they going to actually get this thing right and testing right, and they've gotten through the labor part of it and actually have what looks like a full season and crown a champ? What's your confidence level in baseball?
Baseball can't get right, right?
Oh,
yeah, that seems to be their lot in life and all of this. You know what? The only encouraging thing I've gotten from baseball, Buster Olney, who's one of our great insiders at ESPN, said, as players have returned to the facilities and you've seen teams start to get back together, there's been sort of a pleasant surprise in just how diligent the testing, the protocol, and everything around it has been. And so I think with that as the backdrop, I think it's going to get off and start. But I have the same concern with baseball. The same reason I can't say I believe they'll finish the season is the same reason I can't say I believe the NFL is, you know, totally equipped to finish the season,
right?
Because the element of travel in there is just such a variable and such a wild card in all this that I truly can't predict it, because that part of it's beholden to the outside world. Kind of like we've seen with college football, you can't escape what's going on in the rest of the country once you decide you're going to take these teams, move them around, and use their home sites and all this.
Mm-hmm.
So baseball is getting more confidence as we get back to the sport itself and further away from the ugliness of the negotiations. But the travel sports are always going to be a bit more of a wild card for the obvious reasons.
A few more things, Mike. We got UFC 251 this weekend. I have really enjoyed, and I've gotten to, you know, I mean, I've watched a whole hell of a lot more of UFC, you know, since you know, everything got shut down, because it's really one of the few live things that we've had. And you know, I know they had a little bit of a scare early on with COVID, but for the most part, I mean, they've done a pretty good job, it seems like, with it. Do you think UFC is one of those sports that's maybe the faces have changed, right? Like Conor McGregor is not as prominent as he once was, but even though the faces and the names may have changed, like, do you think it's one of those sports that's going to really benefit from having been present during this time where we really just haven't had much else?
I think so, and I think it's going to be the timing of the next personality coming along. We talked to Daniel Cormier this morning, and the one thing is, even people inside the sport seem surprised at just how well-received the addition of Masvidal to this card was. You know, when you had Gilbert Burns have to drop out in this, everyone knew Masvidal was the guy that people wanted to see get a shot at the title. He's got the BMF belt. He's a big personality, Miami guy. But just to see the way that all of a sudden the anticipation around this fight has jumped up is kind of that indication that we could be looking at the next guy. And the one thing I'll say for the UFC, Conor McGregor might end up being the biggest face and the guy who did the most for the public reception of the sport in its history. But they've always had stars. You know, you go all the way back to Chuck Liddell, GSP, all these different guys that have been involved in this along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a good job when they get one of those personalities that can string together enough success. And with Masvidal right now, a win here would be the start of that, getting a legitimate title belt in the hands of a guy that seems to be very at ease being the promoter, being the personality, talking trash, doing all those things that tend to marry so well with this
mm-hmm.
sport. So if you can get a face like this combined with, like you said, a real desperation for
yeah.
sports and competition and all of that, I think it's the perfect storm for them right now in a way that's got to make Dana White very happy for all his efforts in trying to be the first one back and establish this foundation.
No doubt. I mean, I'm plopping down the $64.99 tomorrow. I mean, I'm not even thinking twice about it. I mean, I can't wait to see it. And then last thing, Mike, your pops, man. What a run for him. I mean, we do a local radio show every day.
Thanks
we
so
haven't
much.
Even hit year four yet. And it's like, how the hell do we get to year four? And your dad has done it since 1998. What do you sort of, where do you start with sort of his career and his run, and, you know, what have you made of it?
Yeah, you know, it's been really impressive. I always tell people, especially, and it's been really cool seeing the outpouring of support and, you know, people's notes about everything that Dad's done, because I've always felt like it's been fun that our family got to share him with everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been someone that's been so incredible and supportive of all of us, and just the consistent way that he lives, right? Like, all these stories kind of have the same common thread of he's a guy of principle. He's unflappable, and he's going to do things the right way because that's the only way that he knows how. That's the way that he was raised. That's the way that he raised us. And so seeing that level of consistency day in and day out for us at home was the way he acted as a father, the way he acted as a husband to my mom and all those things. And for everyone else, it's the consistency of being that first voice for 20-plus years when it comes to these conversations, and doing it in a way that was, you know, was always fair, that was always relatable. You may not have always agreed with him, but he was going to present it in a way that wasn't fair. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't hot takey to be, you know, getting people riled up. He was going to say what he believed, and he was going to do it in a way that was usually pretty entertaining. So I think, you know, all of that kind of putting a bow on it, it's been really impressive to watch from my seat, and it's been nice to see that, you know, along the way, there have been other people that appreciated getting to hang out with my dad too.
A lot of people, a lot of people talk about Mike Francesa as sort of the godfather of sports radio, but I think your pop's contributions are right up there, you know, with everything that he's done the last 20 years on national radio every single morning. So, congrats to your family, man. And I know whatever your dad is doing next, he'll be a huge success.
No, he's proud of you too, Mike.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man, for the time, brother.
No, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Yes, sir.
He is Mike Golic Jr. Obviously, you can catch him on ESPN Radio and ESPN. Always good to catch up with him. Yeah, I'm excited about 251. Fight Island, I think, is.
Are we talking enough about Fight Island? I feel like that later on they'll make a movie about this.
They will.
About Dana White and putting this together and all that. Is that what it is, $64?
It's $64.99, and you got to have ESPN Plus membership.
It's Usman and Masvidal?
Yeah, Jorge Masvidal and Usman. Yep, exactly. So, I like it, man. I love UFC. I mean, I do. It's a fun thing to watch, just to have it on. And, you know, I think Cormier's great. I love watching him, hearing him break down fights, you know.
Where is Fight Island?
Isn't it in Florida?
The idea of the island.
Is it not in Florida?
It's in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, is it in Abu Dhabi?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea. I thought it was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, clearly you thought it was down in Jacksonville, a little island down off the coast of Florida, huh? No, it's in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
You talk about the stuff that movies are made of.
Yeah.
Why would we not do this years from now when we're looking back at the pandemic? Dana White, you know, getting an island for these fights. It's the location and where it is that fascinates me. As much as the fighting is fantastic.
Yeah.
Cormier, you're right. He brings another level to it with what he brings in terms of his insight. But it's just the idea of doing this on an island where you're flying healthy guys in, and man, it's the stuff that it's like a Steven Seagal movie or something.
It is. I can't wait to watch it. It'll be tomorrow. I think at 9 is when it starts. So
Dana's smiling. He getting all y'all's money.
Man, he getting all my money.
I mean, he's been smart with this the way he's done it.
Yes. Absolutely. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
My City Rides allows you to lease to own a brand new motor scooter to get where you need to go. And they provide training with their scooter school. We're talking with rider Mike Davis. Mike, did you already know how to ride?
I had never driven a motorcycle before My City Rides.
Tell us a little bit about scooter school.
Scooter school largely consisted of two parts. One part was a classroom format that focused on laws, safety, and equipment. The second part was actual on-scooter training in an empty nearby parking lot.
Were you scared at all?
I was terrified I would wreck the training scooter.
So how did it go?
So they didn't push us to do any of the exercises until we were ready. We started off slow. First was balancing, then riding in a straight line, then turning one way, then another. Towards the end, we worked on emergency techniques such as fast braking.
So what would you tell someone who is considering the My City Rides program?
If you're thinking about it, don't wait. It's almost impossible to find more reliable and more fun transportation for $90 a month. It's a lot of fun. It's also cheap.
Thanks, Mike. To find out more, visit MyCityRides.org. That's MyCityRides.org.
Gear up for all your favorite teams and sports with Radio.com. The biggest sports stations in America talk about the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA. Get updates on when games will start
and how your team stacks up.
Find Jim Rome, Tiki and Tierney, and more of the top personalities in sports on CBS Sports Radio.
And you'll love Radio.com sports originals
like Mike's On with Francesa, Swings and Misses,
and You Better You Bet,
with the best bets on the biggest matchups every weekday. Gear up with all the shows and podcasts
on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
21 flavors of wings, including the world-famous Honey Suicide, Garlic Sriracha, Lemon Pepper Hot, and the Triple J, developed with Grizzlies forward Jaren Jackson. Jason Smith here, and of course, I'm talking about the Wing Guru. And you folks in Bartlett, Stage Road will open on Friday, July 17th. Collierville, Arlington, and Olive Branch will be there soon as well. In the meantime, the original location on Mount Moriah and South Haven locations are open. So go there, taste the goodness, tell my friend Billy Richmond I said hi, and treat yourself, your family, and your friends to the best wings, catfish, and gourmet burgers in town. The Wing Guru. Order online at thewingguru.com.
Hi, this is Jim Miller, and Origins is back.
I said to Cameron, I'm like, this doesn't come around very often, and I want to be in this movie.
Chapter 6, Almost Famous turns 20.
I am a golden god!
You made friends with them.
Well, it was fun.
Because they make you feel cool.
To celebrate Almost Famous' 20th anniversary, we've managed to put the band back together again, including the director and writer of the film, Cameron Crowe himself. Plus, Kate Hudson, Frances McDormand, Billy Crudup, Jason Lee, Patrick Fugit, Zooey Deschanel, Jimmy Fallon, rock stars Peter Frampton and Nancy Wilson, and more.
It's what it's like to be a fan, to love some band so much that it hurts.
Join me as it all unfolds. Presented by Blue Moon, Origins Chapter 6, Almost Famous turns 20. Now available on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your...
There are a number of ways to know when you need a new roof. Maybe the shingles are curled or cracked. Maybe a storm causes multiple leaks. Just the look of a worn roof can keep you from selling your home. This is Jeff Calkins, and I want to tell you about Bennett Roofing, a locally owned, licensed, and insured company that understands that your roof is a big investment. So from beginning to end, they'll let you know everything to expect and how your beautiful new roof is going to look when it's done. So contact the folks I'd contact by going to BennettRoofingMemphis.com or calling 359-9708. That's 359-9708.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay. Powered by people, millions of people, all over the country, all working to get you exactly what you want. And that's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
The die-hard batteries you know and trust are now at Advance Auto Parts. That means all the reliability, durability, and power you expect now come with free testing, free installation, and the unrivaled expertise of Advance team members. No appointment necessary. And for a limited time, purchase a die-hard battery and enter to win a free Optima battery maintainer and charger. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participate in CarQuest locations. See store for details.
I'm Listening Daily, here to help end the stigma of talking about mental health. During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. Here's Margaret Cho on Healing with Laughter.
There's a funny thing of like our drive to go to something that is a little bit lighter, but everybody's fascinated with, that we could all look to something in pop culture and really get obsessed with it, and that we really need to laugh. Laughter is such a balm. It's such a healing thing. And to be able to laugh is really to be able to breathe. It's a very life-giving thing to be able to have laughter and to laugh about something. If you're laughing about something, then it means that you're dealing with the pain of it and able to handle it. And so humor now is vitally important.
Let's end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find out more at imlistening.org.
How you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?
Feeling good. Improving.
Ain't so much bone, brother. How you feel, man?
I feel all right.
I call your name. I don't want no people to know you're in here. How you feel, brother?
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
It's the weekend. It's Freaky Friday, and that means I've got a nice tall glass of Riverset Rye whiskey waiting for me at the house. I always look forward to the weekends. That means I can enjoy responsibly. Riverset Rye whiskey is a 93-proof small batch whiskey made right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Ages along the banks of the Mississippi. It's my go-to whiskey. It needs to be your go-to whiskey as well. It's smooth. Tastes great. And that's what you're looking for. $29.99, wherever fine liquors are sold. One of the great things about it, not just that you're drinking locally and supporting locally when you buy a bottle, but you can also mix it up. You can drink it on the rocks. You can drink it neat, make a cocktail. I ain't going to tell you how to do it. Either way you choose, it's going to be delicious. So pick up a bottle today wherever fine liquors are sold, just $29.99. Ask for it when you are in the store. Go against the current. Join the rye revolution. Pick up a bottle of Riverset Rye today. All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. By the time we come back on the show on Monday, we'll be like, what, barely 2 weeks out, man? Barely 2 weeks out of NBA basketball. That is exciting. That's a milestone, isn't it? I mean, my goodness, it's been 4 months exactly since we've had NBA basketball. Basically, it's July 10th. I think the season ended on March 11th. And we'll
still technically be about like 3 weeks away, right? First regular season, what, the 30th?
Yeah.
And then 31st for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, but I'm just gonna say 2 weeks.
No, it's fine. I want you to see the light, you know, and be closer. And what it actually is.
I'm just gonna psychologically like tell myself it's 2 weeks.
I told Caucus this morning, we need, you know, you, all the, everybody involved, we want it forever, but we need sports for you.
Man, yeah, we need some normalcy in this world. You know what I mean?
Been humping within this no sports desert, and we got to get you some. So, got to see Ja here soon, man.
Yeah, and I think everybody is. I'm hoping that everybody is sort of focused and locked in. I think they are. If you're going to make the decision to go down there and be away from your family for 3 months, right, you're certainly not going to be irresponsible about it. You know,
especially the ones on a mission like the Grizzlies and like these other teams that are trying to win a title down there. Grizzlies trying to get that 8 seed.
Well, it's just one more part of the conversation that, you know, as a coach, it's like, yo, you know, if you mess this up and you go out and you do something you're not supposed to do and you don't wear a mask, this, that, the other, then you can screw it up for everybody. You don't want to be the dude that penetrates the bubble. You don't want to be the dude that ruins it. You know what I mean? I mean, not that they could ever necessarily find that out, but, you know, like, I mean, we know where the first test, what team the first test came from, you know?
Oh, it'll get out who destroyed the bubble.
Yeah, and you don't want to be that guy. You'd be on the wrong side of history forever.
Make a movie about you.
Man, you know, 30 for 30, you know.
How you ruined the bubble.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy, so.
And we do have the, I mean, you got hopes all over this country pinned on that bubble.
That's right, man. You ain't never lied.
They will make a movie out of you. Played by Denzel.
Exactly. That's going to do it for us today. As always, thanks to all of our guests who joined us on the show today. Thanks to Aki Collins, and thanks to Mike Golic Jr. for joining us today. Giannotto and Jeffrey are up next. Make sure you stick around for that. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN.
The sizzle is real this summer. And the weather won't be the only thing heating up. Because right now, your chance to win Red Hot Cash is heating up too. Thanks to the new Red Hot Instant Games. So the next time you're out, why not pick one up? Then stay in, stay cool, and stay hot with Red Hot Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, summer-escaping fun. Please play responsibly.
Yankee Doodle wanted fun for just a single dollar. Found a jackpot in the millions and began to holler. Lotto America, look it up! The prize is getting bigger. Mind the rules and play today and you could be a winner. Go to town on Lotto America and put the country's hardest working game to work for you. Lotto America from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's some good news. Buster's Liquors and Wines is open at Poplar and Highland. Not just open for curbside pickup, but open for walk-in business. Go to busterslickers.com for store info, a protocol, hours, and days of operation and delivery service info, too. That place is clean as a whistle. Come on in and take a stroll. Experience why Buster's boasts the largest selection of fine beers, wines, bourbons, great spirits from Tennessee, and the friendliest, most knowledgeable staff. Open for walk-in business now. Buster's Liquors and Wines.
Is there a rim in your house that never seems to cool or heat the way you think it should? Then a Mitsubishi ductless system may be a solution for you. Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Ductless systems are relatively new to the United States, but Mitsubishi Ductless systems are a proven energy saver because the system does not have any ductwork, so it can blow colder air in the summer and warmer air in the winter. Mitsubishi's inverter-driven compressors automatically adjust to your cooling or heating demands to deliver ideal comfort while only using the energy that is needed. No more, no less. Do you have a bonus room, sunroom, or master bedroom that never cools right? Maybe a new addition to your home or a garage you want heated or cooled. Now you can do it efficiently. Call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule your free estimate. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at Jiffy Lube.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.